I begin today by quoting from a letter written by Pope St. John Paul II in 1984, when he wrote, quote, "In a culture which tends to imprison man in the earthly life, the pastors of the church are asked to provide a catechesis which will reveal what comes after the present life, beyond the mysterious gates of death, an eternity of joy and communion with God, or the punishment of separation from Him. Only in this can one realize the exact nature of sin and feel decisively moved to penance and reconciliation." Close quote. The Pope then went on to say that essential to this catechesis is, quote, "what the traditional Christian language calls the four last things of man: death, judgment, heaven, and hell." Close quote. The subject of death, judgment, and heaven aren't completely foreign to modern conversation. Death is inevitable, and so we wind up talking about it whether we want to or not. And heaven is something that we all hope for. Judgment's a somewhat less popular topic, since no one wants likes to be judged by others, and certainly no one likes to think of a final judgment. But even more unpopular is the subject of hell. It seems that modern culture tends to dismiss the idea of hell as merely the product of sort of medieval superstition. It's the stuff that nightmares are made of, and the fear of hell is nothing that a good psychiatrist can't help you get rid of. But even when we do admit the existence, or even the possibility of the existence of hell, we tend to think it's a place that others might go to, but not us or the people that we love. Because admitting that we might go to hell means two things that we don't like to accept. First, it means that we sometimes commit serious sins which are worthy of eternal punishment. And second, it means that the time to reform our lives is now, because death comes when it comes, and it can come at any moment, with judgment and heaven or hell to follow. Many well-intentioned people question the existence of hell because they can't understand how a God who loves us so much could send a person to suffer in hell forever. In order to understand this, we need only to understand two things about God. First of all, He does in fact love us. And second, He loves us so much that He gives us the greatest gift, the gift, that an attribute that really belongs by right only to Him. He allows us free will. We get to choose. And in loving us so much and giving us this great gift, He respects that gift, and He respects our choices. So we see that God doesn't so much send us to hell, but by our choices in this temporary earthly life, we freely choose for ourselves what we will receive after death. We choose either to live with God forever or to live without God forever. We freely choose heaven or hell. Now, contrary to popular belief, Jesus used to warn people about hell quite often. One time I tried to count the number of times in the four Gospels, and it's something, at least somewhere around 43 times that He talks about the fires of hell. And the story in today's Gospel is one of the best examples of this. In this story, the rich man goes to hell, and the poor man, Lazarus, goes to heaven. Now, to be precise for all you scholarly types, Lazarus actually goes to what's called the bosom of Abraham, which is where all the just people from the Old Testament were happily awaiting Jesus to die and rise and then come and open the gates of heaven for them. But it was a place of happiness as they waited. And of course, Jesus did eventually come and open the gates. And so for us looking back, we see this simply as heaven. Now, does this mean that if you have money and you're automatically going to hell? Or if you're poor, does it mean you're automatically going to heaven? Absolutely not. In order to understand who Christ is talking about as the rich man and the poor man, you have to place this reading in the context it comes to us in the Bible. Remember back to last week's gospel, where we read about the parable of the dishonest steward, and Christ warning to us at the very end that you cannot serve both God and mammon, or earthly treasures. In Luke's gospel, right after that parable that we read last week, comes this parable. So that the rich man in this week's parable is the person who loves and serves earthly treasures or mammon, while the poor man is the person who doesn't cling to the treasures of this world, but instead clings to his love for God. And being complacent with the things of this world, the rich man chooses the comforts of this world and therefore rejects the comforts, the goods of God. But in the end, the rich man dies and faces judgment. And he's not judged by his own standards. And he's not judged by the trendy standards of the society around him, including not by some public opinion poll. But he's judged by the eternal standards of truth of God himself. And the result of that judgment is the punishment that he cannot live with God or in the bosom of Abraham. But instead he is cast into what Jesus calls the netherworld, or the abode of the dead. Jesus tells us that there the rich man, he says, was in torment, tortured by the flames. Three times he uses that word tormented in today's gospel to describe where the rich man was. This is hell. When the rich man can no longer stand the agony of hell, he cries out to Abraham, the father of the Hebrew race and our father in faith. He cries out to him for some kind of consolation. But Abraham responds that he can't help him, because by choosing to embrace the things of this world instead of the things of God, the rich man has chosen for himself to be without God. And so he's chosen to go to hell. The poor man named Lazarus, on the other hand, has chosen the other path, and now he rests in peace. My child, he says, remember that you received what was good during your lifetime, while Lazarus likewise received what was bad. But now he is comforted here, whereas you are tormented. On top of all this, there's a second reason that Abraham can't help him. He says, between us and you, a great chasm is established to prevent anyone from crossing who might wish to go from our side to yours or from your side to ours. Because he chose the temporary goods of earthly life above God, the rich man receives in the end the eternal torment of permanent separation from God. Hell is eternal. There is no reprieve, no parole. You cannot pass from the chasm that separates hell and heaven. This is the teaching of Holy Scripture over and over again, and it is the solemn dogma of the Catholic Church. Now, some might say that this is frightening. It should be. In a very real sense, we should be afraid of going to hell, because it will be in some way terribly painful. Imagine the absolute worst moments of your life, some terrible physical pain that made you scream or cry, or perhaps news of the death of a loved one, your heart broken, torn apart. Hell is immeasurably worse than any of those, and lasts all the time and forever. But we should be afraid of hell, even more importantly, because we know that the choices we make bring us to hell, because they are choices that gravely offend and hurt God. We should be scared to death of offending this God who loves us so much. He gives us so much. He does so much for us. All the good things that we have on earth should lead us not to love those things, but to love him, because we recognize how much they express his love for us. Every love we have, every joy we have, every moment of intense happiness, even life itself, is a gift from this one who loves us so much. And he wants to perfect that, bring it to, so that even, again, imagining the happiest moments in your life, maybe the birth of a child, or your wedding day, or when you fell in love the first time, whatever, the happiest moments in your life, when you ate the most delicious dinner, whatever it is, heaven is like that, even more so, infinitely perfected, all the time, forever. How can we offend the God? How can we reject the God who gives us all these things? We sure fear hell. But even as we fear hell, we can't get carried away by that fear. We can't be paralyzed by that fear. It can't dominate us. And we must not fear death. Look at the last part of today's gospel reading. The rich man asked Lazarus, asked that Lazarus be sent back from the dead to warn the rich man's brothers who are still living with their and loving their riches on earth. Abraham responds, "If they will not listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded if someone should rise from the dead." That puts this whole thing in context. Think about this. The rich man asked that the poor man who has already died and be glorified in heaven come back from the dead to warn his brothers. Who is the poor man in the story? Who's the one who completely abandoned all the good things of the world, even life itself, in order to completely and perfectly serve and love God alone? Who is the one who, after approaching the world and those who serve the world, was rejected by them and even killed by them, who had opened sores that, as Scripture would say, even the dogs would lick? He was rejected and killed by them. Who is the one who did come back from the dead then and then told us and offered us his eternal mercy and love as the way to eternal life with God himself? The poor man in the story is no one less than Jesus himself. Jesus rose from the dead and ascended to the Father, but he left us with the Holy Spirit, his word, his church, and his sacraments. In particular, he left us the sacrament of penance. While in the next world, there is a great unacrossable chasm between hell and heaven, in this world, Jesus can and does cross over the abyss between sin and holiness and revive our tortured souls with the cool water of his grace. The same grace that flowed in the water that came from his pierced side on the cross, the same grace that poured out on us in the waters of baptism, that same grace pours out on us in the sacrament of penance. As Jesus comes to us to forgive all of our sins and give us the strength, the grace, to always choose him over the world, always choose heaven over hell. We need to receive this great sacrament, not once in a while or once or twice a year, but whenever we've committed a grave sin, when we've freely chosen to separate ourselves from God, to embrace the things and values of this world, and to reject the good that God gives us. And even if we're not aware of a grave sin, we should still receive the sacrament often. I say at least every month or 2 months. Why would we turn down this free gift of grace that washes away anything that separates us from Christ, refreshes us, renews us, and strengthens us to always choose to love and to live with Christ on earth and in heaven? We must consider the last four things: death, judgment, heaven, and hell. These are all realities, and they are all eternal. While we don't choose to die or to be judged, we do choose whether we will be judged worthy for heaven or hell. We don't have to be afraid of death, but we should be afraid of sinning against God and of hell. And we shouldn't, but we should never be overcome by that fear. God loves us. He wants us to go to heaven. He gives us all sorts of aids to do that. And so we should seek the peace found only in the mercy of the Lord, who offers us heaven. Do not choose to imitate the rich man who cling to the things of this world. Choose rather to imitate the poor man who empties himself for love of God, our Lord Jesus Christ. Choose not eternal death, but eternal life. Choose not the torment of hell, but choose the eternal joy, the perfect and glorious happiness of heaven. Praise be Jesus Christ. Amen.